chapter number 25 in Genesis. And when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 30 years old, amen, when she bare him, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You may be seated. Now I'm in the book of Genesis there. In a day and a time before the law was provided so that people would know what God expects of us. There are some things that were not yet established as far as man's knowledge. They did not know, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Although it's always been wrong, God never has approved of this. But there are scriptures that indicate that in certain times past, because there was no law, God saw the actions of men as no transgression, which later became transgressions because God showed us there are some things that are an abomination to God, things you shouldn't do. But during this time, this setting, and a lot of people don't understand these things, so if they just pick up the Bible, they'll read a little in Genesis and a little over here and a little there and say, "Oh my, these people, look, they lie, they kill, they do this, they do that, they have all these women, and this is God?" You know? But there's some understanding needs to be provided here in your minds. For there is no law, there is no transgression, as far as God's concerned, because He operated there in a realm of, if you have faith in God, then you will be blessed and you will go forward. And that's about all they knew. There's a God, and you trust Him, and you have faith, and you live your life, and you do all you can do, whatever you need to do to get ahead. And, you know, they didn't know that. Undoubtedly, they felt it was wrong, but they didn't know that cheating was wrong. And they didn't know that lying was wrong. They didn't know that a lot of things were wrong. So thus, when we read some of these things, we're not... If you see the examples of what these people did in the book of Genesis, that doesn't mean you should try to do it too. Because a lot of things have happened since Genesis. A lot of things have happened since Genesis. In fact, because a lot of the wickedness that was going on that people didn't even know. They didn't even know how wicked they were. God destroyed the world with water and just wiped out humanity. He said, "That's enough of that." And then he's more or less started all over and brought some new beings. You know, even after the flood, Noah was doing things that you would think, how in the world could he be a man of God? After God saving him in the ark and after finding grace in the eyes of God, and then I won't go into the details because that's not my lesson today, but if you want to read it, when you read what Noah did after the flood, immediately after the flood, don't you go do that too. So I said all that just to let you know the lesson I'm bringing you this morning is not to teach you to live like these people lived in these crude things that they did and their conniving, their scheming, and all the things that later became established as law, as rule, as God saying, thou shalt not do this. And even later, writing it in our hearts so we know what to do and what not to do. Because we have all the law, all the prophets, we got the Bible, we got God, we got the Holy Ghost, and there's no excuse for us. Amen. So we need the faith that they had, plus we need the knowledge that God has given us and to sustain ourselves. So the thing I want to say is don't sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. This man said, so what good is it going to do me? what good is a birthright going to do me? I'll take the soup. I'm hungry right now. I feel like I'm going to die, so what good is my birthright? Well, it's easy to get to feeling like that, I guess, when you're hungry, when you're hurting, when you got problems. But don't sell out. Because your birthright is more important than a bowl of soup. A bowl of soup doesn't last very long. In just a little while, you're going to be wanting something else. Something more, because that hunger will return. That being faint and not feeling good will return. Problems will return. You might get a temporary solution, but don't settle for that. Hang on to your birthright. Drinking is never the solution. Amen. Drugs is never the solution. Living a lifestyle that you know is not pleasing to God is never the solution. Don't sell the right that God has given you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The right to be free. The right to be lifted up into a place where there is victory, where there is hope, where there is help, where you can do things in the name of Jesus and see great, great miracles take place in your life. Hallelujah. So we have types and shadows of things to come here in Genesis. We have a father who is going to give a blessing to a son. And as I read, this man Isaac favored his son Esau because Esau kept bringing him food that he liked. He would go out and he would bring venison and he could fix it just like his daddy liked it. And Jacob was just kind of a plain guy, just kind of sat around, just, you know, he's just waiting on an opportunity. Yeah. He's one of these guys waiting on another pyramid scheme to come along, you know. I don't want to get out in the field, I don't want to work, I want to do this. Mama's baby. And Mama favored Jacob. And so he was a smart cookie. And his Mama was a conniver and a schemer. And so she came up with this plan. And there was a famine in the land. And everybody was hungry. It was tough. And Daddy was getting old. His eyes were failing him. And he was about to die. Amen. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went. I won't go into all this. I'm going to just skip over a long ways. But there was a famine in the land. Amen. And I want to go on over here to where Isaac got old, was old, chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, this conniving wife, Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Joseph, Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and shall seem to him as I shall seem like a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. See, even before the law, the things that are wrong were still in the consciousness of man. Because here he is. Later it's going to be established. You don't deceive people. But here are people living in a time when they believe in God, and just in believing in God, God has a way of making you aware you shouldn't do some things. So he's already aware, I'm going to be a deceiver if I do this. So she says, let me take the blame. His mother said to him, Upon me be the curse, be your curse, my son. Just obey my voice and go do what I tell you. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Younger only by a few seconds. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. The old Esau was a redneck. Amen. And this Jacob's just kind of easygoing, smooth guy here. And she put the skin of these goats, these young goats, the skin on his hands, upon his smooth little hands, and upon his smooth little neck, to make him feel like he's Esau, a rough outdoor man, that's always out there in the sunshine doing stuff. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. And he came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Now, don't you do this. We're reading what they did. And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you asked me to do. Arise, sit down, and eat my venison, that your soul can bless me. And Isaac said to his son, How is it that you found it so quick, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me. It reminds me of some of the stuff I used to tell when I was a kid. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. See, he had some suspicion at this point. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." Well, and he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul shall bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. The old Esau smelled like a goat. Yeah. You can't always go by the way things smell or what they feel like. Amen. So he smelled of his raiment and he blessed him and he said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be those that bless you." Now that was the blessing of a dying man to a son in a time when you could go forward and do exploits for God with a lack of knowledge and accomplish God's purpose. Amen. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone, just had left, scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that your soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." And Isaac trembled. What a way to die, huh? What a way to go out of this life. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before you got here. And I've blessed him, and he shall be blessed." Esau begs for a blessing now. Don't sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. There'll come a time in your life and you'll be begging for what could have been rightfully yours. Don't just throw what God has given you away. Rightfully, Esau could have been the one with all the blessings. Amen. Amen. So we're not focusing on how they did it. The focus is this. Don't sell out when you got it so good. Would you praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his daddy, "Bless me, even me also, Dad." And he said, "Your brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing." When you lose your birthright, you lose your blessing. And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered him and said, "Esau, behold, I've made him your lord, and all his brethren I have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him. What can I do for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you just one blessing? Can I just get something? Bless me. Even me. I just need one little blessing. Oh, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Your dwelling will be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above, and by your sword you'll live, and you'll serve your brother, and it'll come to pass when you have dominion, that when you shall have the dominion, you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Amen. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. Don't sell what's rightfully yours for something that's only going to last a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a right to blessings right now. You don't have to scheme and connive and cheat and lie to get this accomplished. Even if you're hungry and destitute, you don't have to go to the world to get temporary satisfaction. Come on to your Father. He can see really good. He knows who you are. Amen. There's no mistaking with our Heavenly Father. Amen. He knows what you smell like. He knows what you look like. He knows your voice. You're not going to deceive Him, so don't even try. You may deceive yourself. Praise God. But we're living in a day now when you're not going to put on goat skin and fool Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You just go ahead in your hunger, in your destitute position. You go ahead and come into Father's house as you are. Amen. He knows who you are. You have a right to blessings. You have a right to the good things of God. Don't get wrapped up in the world so much that you think your answer is somewhere in the foolishness of the world. There's nothing out there that is your answer. Your answer is always going to be that's included in your birthright. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whosoever will, as I said the other night, may come and get in on this. This is something that God has prepared for anyone that's willing from the heart to say, I want in on what God has for me. If you look away from the bowl of soup that lasts only a short while and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, amen, pretty soon something better than soup will come your way. Amen. It's just a matter of being patient. Just a matter of being patient. Patient enough to get past this, I got to have it now feeling. You don't have to have it now. You need to have it in God's time. And His time may be just a moment from now. When you would have settled for something less, He wanted to give you something more. Hallelujah. You see, when I first came to Norwich, a lot of you don't know about this, but I had a girlfriend. Some of you know. She almost became the pastor's wife of this church. And some of you don't know because you weren't around during those days. Very sweet lady. Very active in church work. Went to a church in Maine. I was not ashamed to bring her before our congregation and say, we're making plans to get married. It looks like she's going to be your pastor's wife, and I want you to respect her. And everybody in the church said amen, clapped their hand, received her. We all loved her. All of you that are here remember that well. We loved this lady. Amen. Didn't we? Amen. It wasn't just me. We all loved her. Amen. We all loved her. She was a precious, sweet, Holy Ghost-filled lady doing good things for God. And for some reason, we got engaged, and two times just before the marriage would take place, I could not do it. I didn't know why, but I was praying. And there's some things I love more than anything in this world. And the main thing I love more than anything in this world is the one that gave me my birthright. Hallelujah. And I didn't care what it looked like. I did care, but it didn't matter what it looked like. When I knew that God had spoken to my heart, then even though I would look like a fool, I had to say, no, I can't go through with this. I wanted to. I wanted to. Really wanted to. You don't know how much I wanted to. I love that person dearly. And there's a soft, warm spot in my heart for her until this day. I've always cared about that individual ever since those days. But God put something in me and said, that is not my plan for your life. Well, I questioned that, because how could anything so wonderful, so blessed, I mean, she and I walked these streets holding hands, speaking in tongues together, praying for this city. And I felt like this is my answer for this church, to have this person with her sweet personality, outgoing, wanting to be involved with young people, out here working these streets and us working together. And it wasn't just because of that I went after, but that was something good that I felt like would be a blessing. And I had all these thoughts. Oh my, what a wonderful team this will be. And we drove down the road in the van, and she raised her hands, tears in her eyes, praising God and loving the idea we're going to work for God and bring souls into the kingdom of God. Today, that lady is an alcoholic. Owns a wine company in the state of Montana. And brags about being a wino in her advertisements. And has a very profitable business. But see, God knew some things I didn't know. Does that break your heart? Those of you that knew her. You know, you would say, how can this be? I've been talking to her sister. And, you know, my curiosity finally caused me to say, so how is so-and-so? And she said, well, Brother Rutledge, I know you're asking because you care. So I'm going to tell you so that you can pray. She has sold out. That disturbed me. Not because I want her for a wife today. I don't. I got past that years ago. But it disturbed me. It would disturb me just as much if any one of you, after knowing the blessings you received, the times that you raised those hands and said, I love you, Jesus. Times I've seen you praising your God, singing your songs, to think of you a few years from now as being out there in this world, not enjoying your blessings, not having those great moments of saying, thank you, Jesus, anymore. Finding all your enjoyment and temporary satisfaction, just one more little drink, one more little party, one more little get-together with friends, one more time of laughter. Look, that is never going to be the answer. And I'm not giving up on that sister yet as far as her making it into the kingdom of God. Once you've tasted of the heavenly gift, you will never be happy with the taste of any good wine. There has to be that drawing that's still there. And I mentioned it this morning because it fits so good with this lesson I'm trying to bring you. But also to get your mind on that person and pray for her that God would bring her back into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, today I could be her pastor and I would love her to come to this church. I'm not interested in marriage, but I'm interested in her soul. I'm interested in her soul being saved. Don't sell out. It's not going to be worth it. I remember how she said, she was younger than me. She said, oh my, she said, in 20 or 30 years, you're going to be an old man. And she said, I'll still be young. I said, right. She had all this thought out in her mind. Well, it's been 20 years. And I'm happy in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It broke my heart more to not be able to go through with my plan with that person than the tragedy of my wife leaving me with two daughters and running away with another man and leaving me stranded in the ministry not knowing what to do. That episode broke my heart more than that, so you know I was brokenhearted. And it was me that made the decision. I can't go through with this. Why did I do it? Because I will not sell what God's given to me. For any amount of prettiness, sweetness, goodness, or what seems to be right. Because God's been too good to me for me to not listen to Him. I couldn't see it, but God could see some things I couldn't see. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of other things I will not mention have taken place. She's had a horrible, horrible, horrible life. Two marriages since then. And terrible things, abuse, all kinds of things. Amen. Because of bad choices. Not going to church. Not being involved in the things that were rightfully hers to enjoy. That's just one individual. We got a whole town full of them. Norwich is full of people who once tasted of what it's like to know there's something good waiting for me. There's something good coming my way. I've got a blessing to look forward to. I know because it's all established in the Word of God. I've got some good things coming my way. But then when it didn't happen just at the right time and they got hungry, they decided to go a different way. And that old feeling, what good is that birthright going to do me? Because I want something now. I just got to have it now. It's all through the Word of God, the prodigal. I want my blessing now. I want what's coming to me now. Amen. It's not always best for us to get what's coming to us now. We need to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord. He'll give you the desire of your heart, and it'll happen in due time. Don't sell. Don't sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. Let us stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord today. God just so good. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody in this place has a birthright. Amen. As far as God's concerned, you're His favorite. Amen. He wants you to have the blessings. He wants you to enjoy the things that are rightfully yours. Amen. All we need to do is say, yes, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. Whatever looks good to me does not have to be what I receive. Whatever seems right to me does not have to be what I have to get. I just want you to have your way in my life. I just want you to have your way in my life. And I promise you, in the long run, you'll be glad that you didn't sell out. God bless you, Brother Joe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I welcome you before we leave this place this morning. Come and pray. Hallelujah. Let's respond to the word that we've heard today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are today. I'm not going to try to find you. But I'm sure the word of God has found all of us. Hallelujah. One verse says it, if you be willing and obedient. Praise God. That's where we all need to be today. Humble yourself and pray. And let the Lord just take you where you need to go. Praise God. Don't sell your birthright. Jesus. Jesus, God, we thank you for the Word of God today. The Word that's always a good reminder the things that we need to be paying attention to. Hallelujah. Lord, we would not be Hallelujah. Evil as Esau was and put no worth to our birthright. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. More than silver and gold. Hallelujah. More than 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Knows that God have chosen something else. God, an awareness and an awakening would come. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. We'd rather suffer affliction for the people of God. Enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you this morning. Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise
Hallelujah.
Your
holy name. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend,
my Lord,
like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
Jesus. Amen. As the Word of God teaches, let this Word this morning dwell in you.
Hallelujah.
Not poorly, but richly. Praise God. Let it be fruitful in your heart. And let's adhere to what we've heard this morning. Because we have something great that God has given us. Amen. God bless you this morning. And we'll see everyone in just a little while. Amen. Have another great time. God bless.